appreciate you so very much. Even through a little illness, the piano player, Miss Leslie's not feeling well this morning. Some other members of the praise team weren't able to be here, but we had a great time of worship. I got a big surprise for you this morning. Oh, it's a big surprise. I mean, it's major. It's a major shift. You may even hear or feel the floor move in the sanctuary just a little bit. But take your Bibles and turn to the book of Philippians. Ephesians is past. We have made our way through chapter 6 of the book of Ephesians, and boy, did it take a while. But we fought some spiritual warfare, and we learned a lot about how to live in the world in which we live, and how to put on the whole armor of God, the importance of prayer, the recognition of the enemy, and to recognize that this is a spiritual battle that we're in, and that we need God's strength and God's power. There I go again, re-preaching Ephesians 6, all right? But we are in the book of Philippians. As I mentioned already, we have a little bit of a different type of service this morning, as we will be having a deacon ordination at the end. So I want to leave a little time for that, because I want everybody to be a part of that, because as a deacon of the church, we understand that they hold an important role for all of the things that take place. So I want you to witness that and get to know Corrigan a little bit. So we're going to the book of Philippians, and we're just going to kind of do an introduction to this, and I hope you'll continue to come back to hear all that the Apostle Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes to the church at Philippi. But imagine this with me for a moment, that as Paul is, as this is one of the prison epistles, we recognize Paul was imprisoned during the writing to the church at Philippi. And imagine that you go to visit Paul in this prison, and he is chained, and he is bound, and he is not able to leave, maybe able to receive some visitors at this point. But you see him writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit a letter to the church at Philippi. And you were to ask him, you say, Paul, what's going to be the theme of this book? And you may be thinking to yourself, well, maybe a good theme would be why bad things happen to good people, right? Because that's a question that we all ask. If anything goes bad, we would say, well, surely, Paul, you're going to be writing the topic to the church at Philippi, why bad things happen to good people. And he answers, nope, that's not the theme that I've been writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Well, you say, well, Paul, is it going to contain some complaints? Is it going to ask the question, why, after all the things that I have done, do I find myself in Rome in prison? No, that's not what I'm going to be writing about. And you continue to ask different questions. And finally, the Apostle Paul looks at you and he says, the theme that I have been called to write about through the Holy Spirit and through his words is rejoicing in the Lord. Wait a second. There is no way that is what you're writing about. I mean, look at your position. Look at what you have gone through. As a matter of fact, the very people that he's writing to the church at Philippi, the salvation that they experienced, if you remember Lydia in Acts chapter number 16, the Philippian jailer in Acts chapter number 16, another girl who had a demon cast out of her in Acts chapter number 16, and then in that story in Acts chapter number 16, where the people in Philippi are converted and trust Christ as their Savior, Paul gets beaten and thrown into jail in Acts chapter number 16. And then there's an earthquake, and the Philippian jailer gets saved, and the very one, he takes him to the house, remember? And then the Philippian jailer gets word and says, hey, they decided to let you go. And Paul says, listen, they arrested me in front of everybody. Now they're going to let me go privately? Tell them to come and release me. And that all happens in Acts chapter number 16. And then we recognize that Paul had been beaten according to that chapter. And so now we continue on, and Paul is writing back to that church, and he is encouraging them to rejoice in the Lord. And by this time, Paul is in prison. And so this book, the book of Philippians, is going to show us and demonstrate to us that joy and rejoicing in the Lord is actually separate from our circumstances, that our circumstances can't determine the joy that we have, because we as humans have to recognize that the world offers a counterfeit joy and offers a joy that doesn't last, but Christ offers an eternal joy and an eternal understanding that only comes from relationship with God. And so Paul is going to explain these things as he writes back to the church at Philippi. As a matter of fact, this area, just to give you a little bit of background of what's going on, Philippi, this area was famous for abundant gold mines, plenty of springs of water. As a matter of fact, the original town name meant fountains or springs. But it was in around 350 or so, 359, that it was renamed Philippi after Philip of Macedonia, actually the father of Alexander the Great. So this city rose to become a capital of the Greek Empire, and by New Testament times, the city had come under Roman rule. And they were very proud of some of these things that were taking place there. And so, with the foundation, I've already told you of what happened and how this church was founded. You have Lydia of Thyatira who believed the gospel. Paul goes into Philippi in Acts chapter number 16, if you remember any of this or connected the story. And evidently, when he arrives in Philippi, there's not a synagogue. So he goes over by the river where the Jewish people would have been meeting, and that is where Lydia believes the gospel. The demon-possessed girl, as I already mentioned, was delivered. And then the jailer and his family were also saved. Remember that story? We quote it all the time. He says, "What must I do to be saved?" He says, "Don't." He's about to kill himself, remember? Because he would have been killed himself if his prisoner had escaped. And so he's thinking to himself, "Listen, if my prisoner is going to escape, it'd be better for me to just kill myself." They stop him. They say, "No, we're still here. Don't kill yourself." And he says, "What do I need to do to be saved?" And the answer comes, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." So listen, just a little bit of a sidetrack here. You may go to an area and you say, "Boy, we need some good people to start a church." You got a jailer that gets saved, a demon-possessed girl in Lydia, the seller of purple in Acts chapter number 16. And from this group, and matter of fact, the church even begins to meet in the house of Lydia. And the gospel goes forth. You know what that tells me? That tells me that God transforms lives, that the gospel transforms lives. Remember that from last week. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ transforms lives. So out of this unlikely group, God builds a church. So from the very beginning, as I told you, this is an introductory sermon this morning. From the very beginning, the church supported Paul's ministry. When Paul was in prison, they even sent help, remember? And they sent help to him to encourage him. And then he sends Timothy back to them. So Philippians becomes essentially a thank you letter about rejoicing in the Lord, an encouragement and instruction to the church in Philippi. The theme, as I've already kind of given myself away, I have this bad habit of getting way ahead of my notes and then reminding myself to go back to what I had written out. But the theme of the book of Philippians is joy in Christ. The word joy and rejoice appears again and again. Let me show you this. Go to the book of Philippians, chapter number 4, where you already are in book of Philippians. But go to chapter 4 and verse 4, and the Bible says this. And again, this is a short verse, but it carries a lot of weight to it. Paul, writing the church of Philippi, says, "Rejoice in the Lord every now and then." No. "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice." Remember the context. Where is he? What has happened to him during this time? And yet he says to the church at Philippi, "I want to encourage you to rejoice in the Lord always." Again and again. As I mentioned already, notice that Paul does not mention rejoice in the Lord in the midst of or because of your circumstances. I mean, I don't have to ask you to respond, but we all recognize rejoicing in the Lord is easy when things are going good, right? I mean, that's the simple part. And you know, there's even a song that talks about the God on the mountain is still God in the valley, you know? And how even in the God in the mountain, we're like, "Thank you, this is great. Oh, everything's amazing." And then when you go through the valleys, We can still rejoice in the Lord. As a matter of fact, I think it's even more important to continue to rejoice in the Lord in the midst of the valleys. Because that's when the devil comes and tries to discourage you. I know we've all had valleys in our lives. So he says, don't rejoice because of your circumstances. Rejoice where? In the Lord. Always. And again, I say rejoice. He teaches us several things throughout this book. Number one, that happiness, our happiness sometimes depends upon our happenings, right? Our happiness and our joy depends upon our happenings. But the Bible, through the book of Philippians and other places, will teach us that joy depends on Jesus. And that lasting joy depends upon Christ. I mean, we all have bought the lie that joy comes from outside things. I don't know if you watch TV, and I've talked about this before a little bit, but did you know basically every commercial on television is designed to make you discontent with what you have, right? You're not even on the right medicine, according to TV. Talk to your doctor about this one, because it works better than that one, right? And that junker in your driveway, compared to that thing on the TV, you know, I mean, it's got all these things and these bells and whistles, and boy, they make it look so good, and it makes us discontent, and we begin to even lie, begin to believe these things. I've told you my story about vehicles. I decided that I needed a pickup truck. This was many, many years ago when we were in Florida, and I was driving a 1985 Toyota van. There's not much uglier than that. My brother-in-law used to tell me, Josh, I'd rather ride bareback on a cockroach than drive that van. But that was my car. That was one of the cars. Joanne and I were first married. That was our second vehicle, a 1985 Toyota van. The engine's over the front wheels. To work on the engine, you raise the driver's seat up to get to the motor. Thankfully, it was a Toyota, so you didn't have to do that a whole lot. But anyway, and so we drove that, and I said, I'm sick of this. I need a pickup truck. And the only truck I could afford, I've told you this, I believe, Chevy made a Chevy S10 for several years that was not pink, but fuchsia. Don't call it pink. It's fuchsia. Well, I bought it. And I decided that I would get it repainted. And I never did. And I drove a fuchsia truck around. People knew me by my fuchsia truck. But I thought that if I got rid of the van and I bought the Chevy S10 that was a pickup truck, that I'd have some joy. Oh, no, I didn't. Right? I mean, what silly things have we done in our lives to where we thought, if this happens to me or this takes place, I am going to be joyful forever. Who else ever believed that lie? Come on now, let's be honest, we've all done it, right? I know we all have. If I get this or I go here, I'm able to do this, then I will have it. Well, Paul reminds us, and he will continue to remind us through the book of Philippians, joy depends on our relationship with Christ. That's the source, that's where it's found, and not happiness based upon our happenings, but joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so even though we see that Paul has chains round about him, he has joy in his heart. Go back to the book of Philippians chapter 1 now. Philippians chapter 1, and the key message of this, how is it that Philippians or the Apostle Paul is going to develop this understanding of joy? And I think that is found in verse number 21, that in order for true joy to be found and understood and lived, Christ must be first. Christ is first in our lives. Because if Christ isn't first, then we do not have a reliable source of joy. And that's what he says in verse number 21. He says, for me to live is Christ. My life is about Christ and about who he is and what he has done for me, and my life is hid in him. Galatians says he labors and travails until Christ be formed in him. So the way that joy becomes lasting is that we put Christ first in our lives. Christ was his life. Christ was his purpose, and Christ secured his future. So he says in verse 21, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Joy is established because Christ is primary. There's so many disappointments in this world. I don't need to list them off. Just think of the disappointments you've had in your life. Think of the hardships you've had, right? And how many times that our joy has gone back and forth because our joy and our contentment was not found in Christ. And so what will be developed through the book of Philippians is that Christ is primary. Christ is our life. Christ is our purpose. Christ is our future. We serve him, we love him, we follow him, and we recognize that everything is because of him. You know, our salvation is because of Christ and Christ alone. Our home in heaven is because of Christ and Christ alone. My forgiveness of sin does not depend upon myself or who I am, but because of what Christ has done for me. It's all about Jesus. The statement you've heard me say many, many times, the Bible has one hero and it's not me. It's Jesus. He is primary. And so he will develop, Christ is my life. And death is actually gain because of him. And then this will be demonstrated to be looking towards Christ. Philippians will have some of the greatest portions of Scripture on the glory of Christ. Chapter 2 of Philippians, the Apostle Paul will say, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And he starts talking about humility. But then he says that humility has an example. And the example of humility doesn't come from your neighbor or from somebody else, but his example of humility comes from Jesus. And he says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." So he will remind us that humility comes from a relationship with Christ. As he says in chapter 2, in verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." And before he gives that illustration, chapter 2 begins with saying, in verse number 2, "Fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind." I don't know if you've noticed this about the New Testament, but almost every time we are challenged to do something, the demonstration and the illustration is the Lord Jesus Christ. Husbands, he says in Ephesians, love your wife. How is Christ love the church? Christian church, be humble. How? What's my illustration for humility? Christ. Christ humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death on the cross. So he illustrates humility through the life of Christ. And then he also demonstrates righteousness in chapter number 3. And I know you're going to think, "Josh, you've already preached the whole book by the time you get done with your introduction. There's much more to say." But in Philippians 3, he will demonstrate the righteousness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and tell us about what Christ has done and what we have in Christ because of him. And then in chapter 4, we'll see peace and strength of Christ. All these things, the book will go back to Christ time and time again. And so really we can answer the questions throughout the book of Philippians. What does a life look like that is truly centered on Jesus? And that's how he begins the book, in Philippians chapter 1. At the beginning of his introduction, I said the same thing twice there, didn't I? But he says in verse 1, "Paul and Timotheos, the servant of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons." And then he says in verse number 2, and there's so many times when we begin these books by the Apostle Paul, as he uses these words time and time again. But I want to remind you the significance of what Paul is writing in just in verse number 2 of chapter 1 of Philippians. He says this, grace be unto you. Realize that he is showing that God is a God of grace because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. A major shift from what we have seen in some of the Old Testament books, where God and his holiness must be separate from all things because of the sinfulness of man. But because of Jesus Christ, he says in verse number 2, grace be unto you and peace, not wrath, not contention, not animosity, but an extension or an invitation of grace and peace from God, he says. From God, he says, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's reminding them of the grace of God and the peace of God that has come through the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. As I mentioned, the major themes will be partnership in spreading the gospel, joy in suffering, humility like Christ. Philippians 3:14 will talk about pressing towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Peace in every situation. So, let's just apply this real quick and then we'll talk about some other things this morning. Why do we need to understand the book of Philippians today? Why is this important here in 2026 in Westcliff, Colorado? Because believe it or not, and maybe you all will recognize this immediately, because we live in a world full of stress. Full of stress and anxiety. We live in a world full of conflict. Can I get a witness, right? I mean, we live in a world full of conflict and division and hurt and pain and stress and anxiety and division. We need the book of Philippians to help us to recognize that our joy, our strength, our peace, our comfort all comes through the Lord Jesus Christ and not through a world, as we sang together this morning, come Jesus, come, right? Turn this around. We need you, and we need to recognize Christ to be first in our lives. And that's what we'll see time and time again through the book of Philippians. So Philippians will teach us joy in hardship. Joy in hardship. The book of Philippians will teach us unity in the church. Philippians 2, unity in the church. The book of Philippians will teach us humility like Christ. Unity in the church, joy in hardship, humility like Christ, and ultimately leading to a confidence in God, to trusting God and relying upon God for Him in our lives. And also, just a little bit of a side note, okay, just kind of over here for just a moment, we recognize that as we have joy in hardship and humility like Christ and confidence in God, that a joyful Christian that's depending upon God and enduring hardships as through the power of Christ becomes a really powerful witness. That's the outcome of it. You become a powerful witness as people see, wait a second, you're going through this hard time? How are you so joyful in the midst of this? How can you have peace in a world that we live in right now? And you begin to be able to say, I'll tell you how, because Christ is my life, and He provides confidence and stability, and my joy comes from Him and not from the things going on around me, and I have confidence in God. And so these things produce a powerful witness to the world in which we live. So joy is not found in comfort, not found in success. It is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. So even from a prison cell, Paul shows us a life centered on Christ will be full of joy, purpose, and peace because we're resting upon Christ. And this message to the church at Philippi is a message that needs to be heard and understood and believed by every Christian today. To rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice. to redirect our minds towards Christ, because it is so easy to get our minds distracted by things going on around us and not on the work, the person, and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the call to the Christian. And that is what we are going to learn about through the book of Philippians. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father. After we get through this first three verses, he starts in verse number 4. And I'm just going to read them. We won't get completely going until next Sunday. But he says this: always in every prayer of mine for you, making request with joy. There we go. He's starting about talking about joy. He's making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And then we get the first major verse, which is in verse number 6. He says this: being confident of this very thing, that he which began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's the verse we're going to talk about next Sunday, about the work of Christ within us, in his desires, in his leading, in his working. And so he begins right off to tell you the secret for all joy. And you know what that's going to be according to verse number 6? It's the joy of the working of God in you. Not a joy that we don't want to walk around like this and say, I just don't think you know me very well, preacher. I am just not a joyful person. That's not what we're talking about here. We're not talking about the joy you have or the joy you don't have by your own power. We're talking about a joy that comes from the working of Christ in your heart, and that comes from the inside out, because so much of our joy and our stability comes from the outside in, doesn't it? Well, I'm joyful today. It's going to be a good day. Then tomorrow, it's 40-mile-an-hour winds. My hair. 3 people said, Josh, just keep facing the audience. Don't turn. All right? Here's what happened, okay? Colin is on his way back to college this morning. He calls me during Sunday school and says, Dad, my truck won't start. So I had to run home real quick before I came here to preach and get his truck running for him, right? And the wind is just having its way with my hair. And then Dan makes a joke about it, and no one would have even known who it was until he said, I probably shouldn't say this, right? And so then I was walking out here, and I was like, Nick's on security today. I said, Nick, is my hair still sticking up? And that's when he's like, just keep facing the audience, okay? So I'm trying to do that today. It's like the time when I was in seminary, and I'd already been through 3 classes, and finally my friend looks at me, he's like, Josh, your shirt's inside out. I'm thinking, you've been with me all morning, and you just now tell me my shirt's inside out, right? And so what the Bible is going to teach us, the book of Philippians is going to teach us, the rejoicing in the Lord becomes evident to other people around. And the true joy that we have, I believe, is a confidence that true joy is the working of Christ within our hearts that goes out to those around us. Joanne's going to come this morning and just play a song on the piano. Let's just bow our heads together for just a moment. Just a moment this morning. We've heard some truths from the scripture about Christ, about joy, about rejoicing in him. We'll develop these things more. Just take a moment. As Joanna plays softly this morning, say, Lord, help me to recognize the true source of joy. Maybe we need to say, Lord, help me to quit depending upon outside sources for my joy in my life, and recognize that I can rejoice in you, that you can give me hope, you give me peace, and you demonstrate these things to us. Open our hearts, open our eyes, open our minds to the truths that we'll learn through the book of Philippians. Let's take a moment, talk to the Lord this morning. He's going to put our final verse, which is also our verse memorization challenge for you. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:6. Let's say it again like we mean it. Are you ready? Here we go. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:6. All right, let's have a closing word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all that you have done. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you for the truth that we learn therein. Lord, may we take this verse to heart from the book of Philippians. May our joy be found in you, and may we recognize where it comes from. Thank you for Corrigan. Thank you for this body of believers. We pray you would do great and mighty things. In Jesus' name, amen.